Good morning. Let's look in our Bibles this morning to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. We're living in sort of a dangerous time. So I think it's important that we would pray for Israel, pray for our world, the church, and then we'll pray for our study this morning. Would you join with me? Lord, we ask your hand of protection and blessing to be upon Israel. We pray that you would cover them, be their shield. And Lord, we pray for the leaders of this country, the leaders of other countries, that wise decisions would be made over the next couple of days. Lord, I can't help but believe that your coming is very near. And so I pray, Lord, that your church would be strong. That your people would be strong and courageous, and that we'd join together and encourage one another and support one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I'd like to speak with you for a while about fellowship. Genuine Christian fellowship. What is that? We hear that word a lot in Christian circles, at church, fellowship. It's a very important word for us as Christians. In fact, it's one of the four basic disciplines of Christian growth. It's a practice that we're to maintain for our whole lives here on planet Earth. Number one, read the Bible regularly. Pray. Witness, and fellowship. This is something that we're to be devoted to. So what is it? Now, I think most of us would say it's gathering. It's Christians gathering together at church or at Bible studies. We go to conferences, retreats, different events. We share meals together. We grab coffee together. Gathering, that's how most of us would think of fellowship. And that is a very, very important part of fellowship. But true, genuine Christian fellowship goes much deeper than that. Paul and Timothy had an amazing fellowship with the church in Philippi. And notice how he describes that fellowship. Notice what we learn in our text. Paul, the founding pastor, writing this letter to the church that he founded. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel. From the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. So that word, fellowship, shows up in verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel. If you've been a Christian, I mean, you learned this word early on as a Christian. It's the Greek word koinonia. And in its base meaning, it means to share in, to have something in common with. It's a close association with others involving mutual interests and practices. Koinonia, holding in common. Now, there's two ways that I want you to think about Christian fellowship this morning. First, I'd like you to think of Christian fellowship as partnership. A partnership together in common beliefs, interests, and practices. Think a partnership in a business venture of some sort. You have people get together, they have a great idea, they think it's going to work. Together, they make a business plan. Together, they join forces and fund it. Together, they put all their energy into it, that partnership working together to make that business successful. Or think of a successful military campaign. You have land assets, sea assets, air assets, all working together in one common goal on the same page, working in partnership to accomplish an objective. Or maybe a successful sports franchise team. Sorry, Dallas Cowboys fans, but sorry about that. Save your letters. I will get letters because of that. All those people working in partnership to make a team successful. The owners, the managers, the recruiters, the athletes. All of these people in partnership together, seeking to make their team great. That's how I want you to think of Christian fellowship. God's people in partnership together. And notice what we're partners in. Paul says in verse 5, I am so thankful for your fellowship in the gospel, your partnership in the gospel. In verse 7, he says, you all are partakers with me of grace. We are to be vested together in the truths of the gospel message. We are a group of people who believe the gospel. Together we believe in the God who is holy and perfect and righteous. We believe in the God who created all things. We believe that God created us in his image. We believe that the human race is in a fallen state because of sin. We believe that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to bear our sins. We believe that sinners are saved through faith by grace. We believe that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we become born again. Everything changes. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the hope of heaven. We believe in the transforming power of the gospel message. We're partners. We're all in on that. We gather around that. We organize our lives as a church around that. In verse 7, Paul says, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. In partnership as Christians, we defend the gospel. We believe the gospel message is the only message of salvation, and we will protect that truth at all costs. We defend it. We study it. And of course, we're in partnership together in spreading it, sharing the gospel, remembering that Jesus gave us our marching orders just before he ascended to heaven. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So we are committed to sharing the gospel with every man, woman, boy, and girl on planet Earth. Every single person in this community, in our family, in our sphere of influence. That's Christian fellowship. We partner in our belief in the gospel, in our defense of the gospel, and in our spreading of the gospel. And that should be something that you and I as Christians should be absolutely committed to, like two soldiers together in a foxhole fighting the same enemy. Like stakeholders in a business partnership, pulling for the same prize. Like teammates facing the same challenge on the field. Have you ever considered church fellowship in that way? It's so important. And to be faithful in that. Verse 5, Paul says he's thankful for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, he's writing this letter 10 years removed from when he planted the church. And he's kept a relationship with them for 10 years. And he says, you've been a faithful partner with me in the gospel from day one. And you have been for 10 years. And he's confident, verse 16, or verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Longevity. I know I'll be able to count on you. God started a work in that church. You're a partner. And you'll be faithful to the end. If you call this church your church, if this is your home church, if this is the local church where you've decided that you're going to attend and be a part of, I want you to understand that you've entered into a partnership in the gospel. In this local body, we gather together to study the gospel, to understand the gospel. We gather to defend the gospel. We gather to join together in outreach to this community. We invest in the gospel work. We're committed to it. We do everything we can in our power to make those objectives successful, fruitful, vibrant, and healthy. Every one of us. We all have a part. And that means you have to have a proper, healthy understanding of what real church is like and involvement. Church is not, or Christian fellowship is not, showing up to church a couple Sundays every month and watching all of the professional ministers do gospel work. That's not it. If that's what you think church is, you are not in fellowship. Real church fellowship is all of us working together, understanding that God has put a call upon each one of our lives. He's given us each gifts and talents, all of us joining together. There are visible positions in the local church. There's leadership, but there's lots of behind-the-scenes positions. We all have different areas in which we should serve. We should be a part of that together. I've always loved the illustration that Paul uses of a church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. The church is like a body. Don't think of it as an organization. Think of it as an organism. And we're a body together, and every member of that church has different places, different roles. Some people are eyes. Some people are ears. Some people are little toes. Some people are completely unseen. They're organs. But if you're missing one part, it won't function. So I want you to think of that as you are involved at this church. Where do you fit? Where has God called you to serve? How do you become a part of it? And remember, it's faithfulness. From the first day until now. Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So important. So we are a partnership. But there's another way that I want you to think about genuine Christian fellowship. Okay, we're a partnership, but let's be honest. That sounds a little cold, doesn't it? A little business-like. We're in this partnership. True, genuine Christian fellowship is also warm, loving, affectionate, supportive family life. You know, the Bible says when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we become children in the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And there should be a warmness. There should be a loving friendliness that we experience together. And Paul absolutely had that. You see this in the text. In verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul said, I remember this church often, and every time I do, I thank God for them. I love that. He says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. He remembers his brothers and sisters at that church in Philippi, and he prays for them. And it's something joyful for him to do. In verse 7, he says, just as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart. What a beautiful thing to say. You're in my heart. You have a special place in my heart. Verse 8, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you. Paul longed for that church. He enjoyed them. He wanted to be with them. How greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Adam Clark paraphrased Paul's idea here. He says, I call God to witness that I have the strongest affection for you and that I love you with that same kind of tender concern with which Christ loved the world when he gave himself for it. That's warm. That's love. And that's what we should have with one another. Beautiful friendship. See, here's the deal. When you spend a lot of time working together, serving together, learning together, worshiping together, you forge lifelong friendships. And you will enter into the best relationships and friendships of your life. And you should have that in your life. You know, I look back over many years as a Christian at church, and I've made so many dear friends. Last week on Monday, Kim and I traveled to Albuquerque because one of the pastors there, Calvary of Albuquerque, is our home church, and Pastor Chip Lusco passed away. And God had used Pastor Chip in a wonderful way in our lives. He was one of my teachers at the School of Ministry, at the Shepherd School. I knew him. Kim worked for him. She was the secretary there. Chip Lusco is one of the reasons why, actually one of the main reasons why we're on the radio here in El Paso. He produced the Summons radio broadcasts over 21 years ago, and we've been airing on Christian radio ever since then. He made that happen. So he just had a special place in our life, and so we went to the memorial service and celebrated his life, and we got to reconnect with people that we haven't seen in 25 years, people that I went to the school of ministry with who are now pastors all over the world and in different places all over the country. The hugs. The true, legitimate joy of seeing them. We took all these crazy pictures together, and we shared them in a text stream. And one of my pastors from way back wrote on that text stream, "Today reminded me why I love the family of God so much." And then I think of all the friendships that I've made here over the years, 27 years. What a colorful cast of characters God has brought into my life. People from all different walks of life. People that I've known for so long. Just like family. Sharing life together. Dedicating babies and then later doing their wedding ceremonies. Standing by families here at this church at the graveside as they say goodbye to a loved one. You forge friendships. And I would ask you, do you have that? Christianity isn't just a partnership with Christians. It's a beautiful friendship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would say you need to, if you don't have that, you need to make that effort. I'll tell you, there are different ways to get involved at church. All the different ministries, the men's ministry, the young adults ministry, the 50s plus ministry, the youth ministry, all the different ways. There's all kinds of different ways to get involved. And one of the best way to get involved at church is to find a place where you want to serve. As an usher, a greeter, a children's ministry, tech stuff, all the different things that you can get involved in here. I invite you to make that happen. In fact, there's a testimony from a guy a few months ago. He said to me, "Terry, you know, I've been coming to your church for many years." And I remember this guy, and we knew each other, and we'd shake hands after the service. But he said he never really felt like he belonged to this church until he took that step of becoming a part of a ministry and how it just opened it up to him. I'll never forget this poem. It says, "I went out to find a friend, but could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere." A lot of fellowship has to do with your effort. Are you going to take that step out? Are you going to reach out? Are you going to be vulnerable? Are you going to join a home Bible study? This is a very safe place, my friend. Nobody's going to kick you out of a Bible study, I hope. Nobody's going to kick you out of a men's ministry or a women's ministry. You know, all you got to do is show up, reach out, make the effort, and begin forging the greatest relationships in your life. And enter into that fellowship. Now, I must warn you, the local church this side of heaven is not perfect. Has anybody found that out lately? Just like any family, there will be issues. There'll be disagreements. We'll bug each other. We'll disagree on certain things. So it's not a perfect family, that you're seeking to join this side of heaven. But it's also a family where you learn to love and to forgive and how to have compassion and to grow in your faith. It's beautiful. True, genuine Christian fellowship is also a supportive family life. You know, in a family, you support one another. You care about one another. And so we support one another in all kinds of different ways here through prayer. Paul prayed for that church in Philippi. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. Paul prayed for them often. That church prayed for Paul. Boy, to have a place where you know that somebody will pray for you. And not in some general sort of way. Somebody knows you. They know what you're facing. They know what your work situation is. They know what your home life is. You've revealed that to them. You've asked for prayer. And you have brothers and sisters in Christ who will pray for you. Oh, that goes a long way. I love when I hear people are praying for me. And as you're being a part of a church, not only can you get prayed for, but you get to join in and pray for others and be a part of supporting them and encouraging them. Also, as a family, we help each other when we go through hard times, when we go through difficult times in life, difficult seasons in life. I want you to notice something in verse 7. He says, just as it's right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. Remember, Paul, when he wrote this letter, is in prison for his faith. He's in a Roman jail cell. He's in chains. Now, you're going to see this later, but we're going to meet a guy, a man by the name of Epaphroditus in this letter. Epaphroditus was a member of the church at Philippi. The church found out that Paul was in prison. The church in Philippi collects a financial offering for Paul. Epaphroditus takes that offering hundreds of miles right to Paul's Roman cell to minister to him, to give him the finances he needs, to support him. And so if you're a part of a Christian family, if you're active and involved, tough seasons come in your life. And you have great resources in your contact with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, I delight to see how the body of Christ raises up to help families in need. I see it all the time at this church. All the time. How it fills me with such love and happiness and joy to see maybe a couple that's struggling in marriage and we're able to connect them with marriage counselors who are able to help them. Or we're able to help with people who are going through financial need. Listen, we get calls all the time from people in this community. Hey, and they go through the phone book, if there is a phone book. They Google now, right? But they go through and they look for every church in El Paso and they'll call them up, cold calls. Hey, help out. And we always ask, what church do you go to? Sadly, some of them say, we don't have a church. If you got a church, if you're involved, you can be helped out in these tough seasons in life. You become a recipient of blessings. And you get to be a part of blessing others who are in need. It's this mutual, beautiful thing. We also support each other through encouragement. I don't know about you, but getting together with God's people, it's so encouraging to me. singing songs together corporately, it's encouraging. Gathering around the Bible, it's encouraging. The classic verse on Christian fellowship, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. And as it gets more closer and more serious, God's people gather. They assemble. They stir one another up. I love that. It's a word that means provoke. As Christians, you know what we do to each other? We provoke one another to love and good deeds. We dream together. What sector of El Paso isn't being reached? Oh, let's do something. How can you be a better witness at work? Oh, let's talk about that. Let's pray for you. So necessary. So helpful. Don't do this alone. Don't do this alone. I often like to think of church as huddle time. All the actions happening out there. We're in the battle. We're being witnesses for Jesus Christ. And when we come to church, it's huddle time. A lot of times I think of myself as just the water boy. The nutritionist. Here I try to bring a meal to get us spiritually fed and ready for the week ahead. But here at church, it's huddle. It's like time out. We see our brothers and sisters in Christ that we love dearly. We get prayer. We give prayer. We join together. We get refreshed. Genuine Christian fellowship. Partnership. And family. Have you entered in? Now, Christian, have you entered in? Or are you detached? I would invite you to make decisions in your life to enter in to that beautiful fellowship that is available for you. Maybe you're not a part of the family of God. Maybe you're not a part of this partnership, but you'd like to be, and you wonder, well, how do I become a member of the church? Well, I'm not going to make you take any classes. You're not going to have to pay any membership fees like you're joining a club. I won't make you sign your name on the dotted line. I believe you become a member of this church in the same way that you become a member of the church. And that is through faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. You place your faith in Jesus Christ. You ask him to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says you'll become born again. You'll become a child in the family of God. You'll join the church. And then enter into that local body where you're going to plug in and get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ and come alongside them and serve. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Lord, what a great blessing it is to know you. And Lord, we thank you this morning for this beautiful family that you put together from all walks of life. For your people, not only here in this church, but worldwide, meeting in churches all over. Lord, I pray for strong, strong friendships, relationships, Lord, where we would bind together in serving you, in witnessing for you. And even now, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who is detached. You've drifted off. That's you. I'm calling you to come back, to join your family. Maybe somebody made you mad. Maybe some issue made you mad. But you've drifted. You need to get back in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Co-laboring. If you're here this morning and you've yet to place your faith in Jesus Christ, you do it through a prayer. You acknowledge your need for Jesus. He died for you. He rose again. He paid your penalty for your sins. The Bible says that those who receive him are called children of God. Have you received them? Have you entered into that community? I'll give you an opportunity right now. You choose to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ right now. Just say a prayer like this. You talking to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I put my faith in you this morning. Right now. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank you for dying in my place. Make me a child in your family, now and forevermore. Use my life for your glory. We all pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. We'll close with this final song.